life, or we have hit the valley of despair. Or maybe we're just somewhere in between. We recognize the truth. Father, the impossibility of just doing life on our own, as has already been expressed, we come back to John 15:5, to where you just simply remind us, apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Father, the very presence of Christ is here. The very power of our Lord is with us. Father, moments like these bring to us the reminder that life is difficult, that we do not need to navigate it by ourselves, that we need an influence, and we need a leader and a guide. We need a presence of the Holy Spirit. We need your interaction with us. And so, Father, whatever we bring into this room today, whatever is in the living rooms, in the vacation places, or those that are streaming with us today, whatever the moment brings, whatever the weekend has brought, or the despair, or the life situations, we are once again reminded that you are necessary, and that you allow us and help us to navigate life. So, Father, regarding this, that reminds us then that you have a teaching for us today, that your voice is speaking loud and clear. We recognize your prayer's presence. We know that you're in this place. You have gathered us together, and this is a divine appointment, and you've got something to say. Father, may we be attentive. Or Father, may we be obedient to what we hear you say. So, Father, as you find faithfulness in this room, faithful listeners, may you find faithful obeyers as well. So, Father, we say, teach Lord Jesus and bring to mind those things that we need to know. Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So glad you've chosen to be here on this Mother's Day. Thank you so much for choosing South Haven as your place of worship. We are so delighted that you've chosen to stream with us this morning as well. I'm glad you found us on one of our opportunities there in our digital world. And so we're grateful for your presence as well. All kinds of activity here, again, in the life of the church as we are full-blown summer mode and all kinds of things. You can read about those. Jenny has already brought those to your attention in your bulletin. And so good things happening here in the body of Christ here at South Haven. I was visiting a passage this morning out of the book of John, chapter 6. It was that wonderful story of how Jesus was feeding the 5,000. He took a boy's lunch of just a few loaves and fish and began to multiply that. Revisiting that, and I was looking at that passage, I just love how that culmination moment when the boy's lunch, even in Andrew's lack of faith, was displayed there, as he found the lunch, brings the lunch, and then says, what are these for so many? He doubted the lunch. He actually even doubted the Savior at that moment. But what I love about that passage is when it's passed off to Jesus, and Jesus takes it in his hands, and then thousands are fed from a small lunch. Here's the relevant fact for us today that I don't want you to miss. Whatever you put in Jesus' hands gets better. All right? Whatever you put in his hands gets better. There's a better opportunity here, as we find in that story in John chapter 6. He multiplied. People got fed. Their nourishment was there. You know what? I find that to be true, not just a story out of the book of the Bible, but I find that to be true in life. I have found that when I have taken and placed situations in the Lord's hands and say, God, this is yours. You need to take control of this, whether it's a health situation or it's my kids or it's my family or my marriage or whatever it may be. Say, God, when it's in your hands, I know it's going to be better because it's not good enough in my hands. I can't do enough and I can't do it well. And let me tell you, this is the truth. I found that and also in my finances. When I've taken my financial resources and say, God, place them in your hands, you know what? Everything gets better. It all gets better because I want him to be the steward. I want him to be the one that takes control of every aspect of my life. We try to live that here at South Haven. It allows us, listen, stewardship is simply discipleship. And it's about our walk with Christ and about letting him be leader, owner of everything we have. Stewardship is discipleship. We don't need to compartmentalize our spiritual life and our giving life. So at South Haven, we talk about generosity, and we're grateful for what you've been generous with this year. You've Some of you are just giving wonderfully, and I appreciate you, so all you've done. The offering boxes at the exits are the great way to do that on a consistent basis. Southhavenchurch.org. This allows you to be generous as well. And there are many, many in this room that continue to give beyond their tithe, and that is to our Elevate offering. And that is what we'll be taking up for the next, we're coming up in August on our first year anniversary of our Elevate offering. And we're doing that for the improvements of God's facilities here so that we can be better at reaching people for Christ. So just remind you, those are opportunities before you to get better in some places and ways of your life. Well, if you haven't been with us these last few weeks, we have been looking at some scriptures and being reminded of a truth. Life is short. And we're actually finding out that life's too short to not do certain things. And we've been covering those, all those subject matters and everything, or you can pick up those sermons and things like that on our website. And if you want to go back and peruse those and just see some of the things we've been talking about, life's too short. But just life is too short. And actually, here's the whole crux of this. Life's too short to waste some time. Life's too short in order just to kind of squander our time or not be intentional about certain things in our lives. And so we're talking about how we kind of need to be moving on and just saying, wow, I don't have a lot. You might think you have a lot. You don't have a lot. Life's too short. And today, an interesting subject matter, life's too short to not forgive yourself. What does that mean? We'll be investigating that here in just a moment. We talked about forgiveness last week. We talked about our horizontal relationships and how life's too short not to be forgiving others. Today, what about ourselves? And do people really struggle with that? I think what you're going to find today is that some really struggle with that. And I think you're going to find today that God's word is so applicable that it's not only about the individual that says, I'm really struggling with forgiving myself, but it's very applicable in so many areas because it really does help us move forward in our walk with Christ. Life's too short. So as we venture into God's word this morning, we're going to be spending some time in the book of Psalms here in just a little bit. I want to come back and do say Happy Mother's Day again. I'm so glad. I hope you're being treated well, Mom. I hope that things are going well. And I know that sometimes moms can't be treated well on Mother's Day. And I know that because I found a list of the gifts that some moms have received on Mother's Day. And I'm thinking, wow, these are not really good. Now, so I asked you, Mom, I'm going to share some of these with you. And if these are some of the gifts you've received, then I'm sorry. But here's on the list. Some Mother's Day gifts that moms admitted that they received. Deodorant. Now, listen, I know we all need that, but I don't know if you want that as a gift. I don't know, deodorant. Salad dressing. Now, the only way I think a salad dressing is a really good gift is you've got to give your mom a case of her favorite salad dressing. So that's about the only way that one flies. Fire extinguisher. I'm still trying to work through that one. I don't know if that was a loaf of French bread and hair color. Now, listen, guys, you just don't be doing that. Now, listen, now here's what I thought. I said, well, I want to give the benefit of the doubt of the gift giver to these Mother's Day gifts. And the first thing I just want to say, I really hope that it was some, like, child that was giving these to their mom, like these guys that were standing on their stage. That's acceptable. They just don't know me. It's okay. That's it. But if you're an adult child and you did that to your mom, you can do better, all right? Don't do that, okay? That's not permissible, and treat your mom better. So, anyway, there you go. You know, you don't want to be and have the reputation of a bad gift giver. We can put that maybe as like, hey, I made a mistake. That was a really bad gift. I can do better. There's sometimes we just do some things wrong. We make some mistakes. You, a bad gift giver, you said something wrong that you wish you kind of came out of your mouth and like, wow, I shouldn't have said that. And all of a sudden you realize that just by what you said, all of a sudden it's a fulfillment of the book of James where he says the tongue is a fire and it starts small fires. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, what I said has caused a lot of destruction here. And so we can be bad gift givers, or we can say some things that we shouldn't say, or we can do some things that we don't regret, that we do regret. And it just reminds us that all of us are in that same boat and that we all are prone to making some mistakes. We're all prone to doing it wrong. Doing it wrong, saying it wrong, or whatever it may be. That's the reason we have erasers on pencils and delete buttons on our computers and whiteout. Okay, those are all great things to have. I think we can all identify with a little cartoon strip. You might be familiar with Dennis the Menace. Remember that cartoon script once I read where Dennis is saying his prayers one night, and as he's talking to the Lord, he says, "My grandpa says we learn from our mistakes, so let me tell you how smart I'm getting." All right? You ever feel like I should be like borderline genius right now? I should be right there just because of the mistakes we made. We learn from our mistakes, the things we regret. And then there comes those times when we can't let go of those things that are in our past. Some decisions that we made, and we just can't forgive ourselves. And it may even, you know, I've heard people maybe say that, and they come to the point of saying, you know, they'd even preface it this way: I know the Lord has forgiven me. I just can't forgive myself. What are they really saying here? I think really what they're saying here is they're unable to get beyond the guilt of their bad choice or the sinfulness of their past. I said, I just can't get beyond. And it's that guilt. And what? Let's talk about that guilt for just a moment, because guilt is not a bad thing. Actually, God has created us, God designed us to feel guilt when we do the things that we know that we shouldn't do. So the Apostle Paul even referred to this guilt. He calls it a sorrow in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, he says, godly sorrow, it does something. And what does godly sorrow do? He says, godly sorrow brings repentance. And so the guilt ought to move us toward something of acknowledging that which we've done wrong, moving closer to the Lord. Guilt is that shame we feel over our sinful actions. We should feel that guilt, and it should drive us to repent in God's forgiveness. So there's a place for it. But what about the guilt that we continue to carry from our sin over the deal we've repeatedly gone before the Lord and sought His forgiveness? And we say, I just can't get beyond this. I want to help you today. I want you to know that life's too short for you to be stuck in that way. I think you're stuck in a place. And actually, I believe Satan uses that in order to prevent you from moving forward in your walk with Christ. And it's not that you're desiring, and listen, this isn't going to happen, that your memory gets washed away and where you don't remember those things. No, the memory is there. But you can still, as you remember, you can still move forward. You can move forward and be free of that. I find that in the life of King David. So we understand about King David, one of the things we know about King David is his spiritual life. We understand that he was even said of him that he was a man after God's heart. So he had this dynamic and this passion and love for the Lord, even to have that moniker placed upon him, a man after God's heart. But we also know about his life and his decisions and his choices and the sinfulness of his life, including his sinfulness with his, which was an adulterous relationship with a woman named Bathsheba. David even expresses what was going on in his life during that time. We get a glimpse of the pain, and we get a glimpse of the experience that he was having in the Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. Listen to him express this in this passage. He says, when I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained, as in the summer's heat. So, get a sense here. This is not a pleasant experience. He's hiding the sinfulness of his life, and he's not doing anything about it. But he comes right back in verse 5 because he's beginning to get some freedom. And listen to the freedom he comes. And I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. And I said, I will confess the transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So, very quickly, we can see that David had been processing this and he'd been experiencing this. But what we find later on in the Psalms is that David has this tremendous freedom from his background. And it's not that he forgot all these things and was just kind of happy-go-lucky, but it was a praise to the Lord about what God had done in his life. And this praise to the Lord, actually, I believe, was sparked by a memory. So that's the reason I say our memories are always in place, but it doesn't mean that they hold us back and keep us from moving forward in our walk with Christ. And so when we land in the 103rd Psalm, I would just say this. This is not directly associated with the Psalms that we just read in Psalm 32. It's not like this is, but I believe we can say, based upon what David says in Psalm 103, he was remembering the sinfulnesses of his life and how God had freed him from everything he had been experiencing. This is a beautiful psalm. I'm glad we get to get acquainted with it today. What we experience here in this psalm is a praise. Actually, a praise. starts with, my soul, bless the Lord, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Anybody from the 90s want to break out in a little Andre Crouch and bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name? What a beautiful chorus that Andre Crouch has brought us about 30 years ago. Bless Him. Bless the Lord. My soul, verse 2, bless the Lord. And listen to what He says, and do not forget all His benefits. Oh my. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You know what we have here? Is that we can talk about the benefits of God and we say, wow, what are the benefits? And all of us can give a testimony. But listen, David decides, let me just tell you some benefits. Do not forget them. He says, don't forget the benefits of God. And he lists them. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. And He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like an eagle. A hymn of praise. When we can't forgive ourselves, you know what we can focus on? You know what we need to be reminded of? The benefits of God. Do you realize what we have right here? God's benefit package. You know, this is a benefit package. Do you realize that, like, it's not like human resources when you're sitting down for a job and they say, here's your benefit package. No, you know what? This is a different HR. This is heavenly resources. And heavenly resources are very generous. The generosity of these resources is mind-boggling. And I hope you can get a glimpse of this and pick up on the benefit package. And if you've ever considered, wow, let me just give you a heads up, because at the end of the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive God's benefit package. It's going to be right there before you. So put that in your mind and think, have I ever received these heavenly resources? And I am the beneficiary, and I have these benefits of God. I want you to have them and experience them today. Let's look and investigate the benefit package of God. God's benefit package, the first one is the benefit of forgiveness. The benefit of forgiveness is right there. Why? We get that. He forgives, what is this? All of our, or your iniquities or your sins. Listen, so what he's saying is that there's not a sin in your life that disqualifies you from the forgiveness of God. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you did, how dark it is, or what it looks like. Whether or not we're just willing to humble our hearts and seek the God's forgiveness, His benefit comes to us. It's the benefit of forgiveness of your sin. Listen, this is the universal problem. This is the worldwide problem. All have sinned. We have all sinned. This is where we all are. God says, I forgive those who come to me. Listen to the thoroughness from Scripture that reminds us of the benefit of God's forgiveness. He is faithful to forgive our sins. There's a faithfulness here. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9. And He is faithful. If we confess, He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's a wonderful thing about He is faithful to forgive our sins. Do you realize what else He does? This is the thoroughness of God's forgiveness. He chooses to forget our sins. Oh, He chooses to forget. It is I, Isaiah 43:25. It is I who sweep away your transgressions for my own sake, and I remember your sins no more. This is our Lord. This is an amazing benefit package, isn't it? He is faithful to forgive. He chooses to forget. He forever removes. Do you realize? Look just through the removal of our sin. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve. Okay? Wow, we're going to stop right there. This is Psalm 103, verses 10 and 12. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't deal with you like you deserve? I'm glad I don't get what I deserve. You know what we have? I'm glad we don't have a fair God. Sometimes we say, we want everything to be so fair. God is not fair, because He gives you what you do not deserve. He doesn't. He gives us grace. Listen, He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, or repaid us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed the transgressions from us. You know, that east from, that's not a measure of distance, but that's a picture of thoroughness, that He is totally, completely forgiven our sins. Whenever Satan comes and whispers in your ear and tells you that you're not good enough and that you're a failure and that all the things of your past is what has caused you to be such a mess up and you can't get anything right, and he keeps telling you, don't you remember, don't you remember, and he tries to keep you stuck in there in your sins, you come back and say, oh no, because I have here documented in the Scriptures that God has forgiven, 1 John 1:9, God has forgotten, Isaiah 43:25, and God has removed, Psalm 103:10-12. You ought to write those down somewhere in your flyleaf of your Bible. You might need to be reminded of that here in the next few days. Those are wonderful words for us to remember. The benefit of forgiveness. I read an article this past week, and maybe you saw it's a little news article that popped up about a man who left his car. This was in Germany. I'm not sure where the airport, what the city was, but he left his car at the airport, in the airport parking garage, for 8 months. Yeah, and I didn't say he was a smart man. I just said, and he did this. Now, listen, if you've ever had the inclination to do that, you know, please investigate that. And, you know, you don't need to do that. For 8 months, here's the big thing. After he flew back in after his 8 month wherever, and he goes to get in his car here, kind of a miracle, his car started. And so, really, I don't see how that happened after 8 months of sitting in the parking garage. And his car started, but then he goes to check out. You know the routine when you go through the booth there. You're going to pay your parking ticket. You hand the ticket stub, and when he gets the bill, and you can imagine the shock, it was $7,300. Yeah, I told you it wasn't real smart. You know, I was thinking that story, and I kept reading the story, and finally it ended, and I was like, how does this thing resolve? It never resolved. I don't know if, you know, he had to max out his credit card. Just, I don't know. He still might be stuck at the airport because he can't pay his bill. I don't know what's going on, this guy, but I got that thinking to myself, what if I were in this situation? You know, I would desperately want someone in some kind of authority to come to me and say, what is going on? I say, listen, I really did a dumb thing, and I shouldn't have been here. I should have just had someone drop me off and pick me up, and I didn't realize. And I want someone with authority that just says, okay, we're going to take care of the bill. But don't do that again. That's not smart of you to do that. And so as I was thinking about that, why is that not exactly what Jesus has done for you and me? And he's looked at this, and you look at this debt of sin that we have and say, how am I going to do this? And Jesus says, hey, I'll take care of that for you. Someone in authority named Jesus who loves you and cares for you has stepped in and says, I'll take care of that for you. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive you your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's who our God is. I would tell you, we could stop right here and say, I'm in based upon that one benefit. That is an incredible part of the benefit package. And what else? Sign me up. I'm in. But it gets better. And so all of a sudden, because that's not it, the benefit package is right here. And the benefit of forgiveness of how God does thoroughly with our sinfulness. Hopefully that helps you to move beyond some things that's holding you back. But let's look again at what he says. And it's not just the benefit of forgiveness, but it's the benefit of relief. Now, follow me here, what this means. Listen to what he says when he says he heals all your diseases. Now, there is a particular group of people that are spiritual people, church people, that will use this as a proof text for faith and for healing and for physical healing on this day. Say, here it is. You just got to claim this promise from Psalm 103:3, and that God's going to heal all your diseases. And if you're not claiming this, then, you know, you're messed up. And so I would not agree with those individuals. That is not what this text is about. Actually, when he says he will heal all your diseases, listen, is not physical, but is spiritual. This is to say physical. Listen, have you not sat by somebody, or have you not prayed through somebody, and as they're dealing with something that is debilitating and life-threatening, and God calls them home still? You know what? Their disease was healed. God chose to do it on the other side of heaven. And there's been those individuals that I've experienced and say, wow, I am in remission. I'm totally healed right here on this side of earth. But for us to say God heals all diseases, he does that someday when we get to glory, when we get to heaven. But right here, in this context, he's talking about the spiritual healing of fear and doubt and pride and faithlessness and the healing of anger and lust and unbelief. It's the healing of bringing the, you know what, and that's a relief. Doesn't that bring relief to us when we know that God can heal the soul and heal the spirit? You know, just as you had a physical disease and you'd say, all is done. You say, that which was life-threatening and that which was causing me so much pain and grief is gone. This, the same thing applies to our spiritual life and our spiritual diseases, that he brings that healing. He brings the pain is relieved, and the situation has gotten so much better. There's a passage of scripture you might be familiar when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they come to that first body of water. They've been out of Egypt like 70 Mara, can you see these hordes of people rushing to this body of water? And they begin drinking, they can drink, and all of a sudden they realize it's not good water, and they begin to spit it out. And they begin to complain, this is bitter water. The waters are bitter. Moses calls out to the Lord, what should I do? And God says, I want you to throw that tree into the water. And as he threw the tree into the water, suddenly the waters became drinkable and sweet. And they began to drink. Do you know that place in the scriptures? It's a Hebrew name of God that was given to the Lord. And his name is Jehovah Rapha. The word Rapha in the Hebrew means healer. And it means the God who heals. He heals bitter waters. He relieves the pain of the bitterness of life. That which is holding you back and the things of your past, the hopelessness of your today and the hurt you've endured and that you're carrying with you. Jehovah Rapha, who embodies himself, comes in the place and comes in the name of Jesus in the New Testament, heals or relieves that which is holding you back and holding you down. That's a benefit of relief. It's a benefit of just having a cleanse. It's a benefit. Here, listen to the benefits package. You've got the benefit of forgiveness, the benefit of relief, and then the benefit of grace comes next. He redeems your life from the pit. What does this mean? This pit, actually this word pit has a kind of a dual meaning. It can be a pit of hell, the pit of death. It can mean that's what God has rescued us from. He says he's redeemed or rescued from the pit. So it means like rescued from a second death. That as followers of Christ, we have experienced one death. That's a physical death, not a spiritual death. And that's what this means. But also, it also means a pit of our sinfulness. A place that is dark and confining and imprisoning. Which either way we want to look at this, here's the crux of this. We do not get out of pits on our own. Okay? You know what? Pits, we don't get out of a death pit. We don't get out of sin pits on our own. But it comes from the Lord. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin, the penalty for sin is death. But God's grace comes and rescues us. And we're reminded that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ. He gets us out of pits. The benefit of grace comes to us because we can't get out of pits by ourselves. David's testimony from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, is that he would say, I was in a pit. He was at the pit psalm. And he says, and God heard my cry, and he lifted me up out of the miry clay, out of the desolate pit, and he set my feet on a solid rock or solid ground. He got him out of the pit. That's God's grace. The benefit of grace is God's benefit package. Whenever I think about the benefit of grace, my mind always goes back to my childhood experience at Peabody Elementary School playing softball at recess. Now, I don't know why I put myself through the humiliation of almost every recess playing softball because I was no good. So why would I do that? You would think at some point I would wise up, you're no good at softball, why don't you go just hang out on the monkey bars or go do something else? But every day I would line up with all my friends at the backstop, the two best softball players up there as the captains, and they start choosing their teams back and forth, and all of a sudden it dwindles down, and every time there were two people left, it was me and another kid. Did I tell you I didn't know how to play softball well and I didn't have any softball skills? I'm standing there, desperately deep in my heart, I am just saying to myself, please pick me, please pick me, please pick me. I don't want to be the last one standing. I don't want to be the last one standing. And inevitably, the word would come, and I choose Mike. And I'm standing there. And then here's the word I would hear from the captain of the other team. Okay, Richard, you come with us. I had no skills. I did not even deserve to be on the team. But here's what I found. I got on a team, and even though I didn't deserve it, why? Because that was of grace. I got on a team because of grace. Grace just means you get what you don't deserve. It's an amazing benefit from our Lord as he redeems from a life of pit. He rescues you from that which you cannot get out of on your own. His grace towards you and me means he values you and he loves you and he cares for you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Think about grace and you think about that God has placed value on you. He values you. Benefits. Forgiveness. Benefits. Relief. Grace. Verse 4, the benefit of position. Listen to what he said. This is a position. have been given a position. You have been placed in a family. You have been given something of honor, and it's wonderful love and compassion of God that is crowned upon those who follow Him and acknowledge Him. It's your position here. It's a position in the family of God. It's something that you are brought into. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 4, because you are His children. This is a position that we have. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now that you are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child, and since you are His child, God has made you His heir. When He says, I crown you with love and compassion, He's saying, you are part of this and who I am, and I love you with this everlasting love. You are a part of the family. The song we were singing here just a few moments ago, Who You Say I Am. You know, it's kind of a little experiment I like to do with Pastor Scott whenever I think of a song that I'm going to include in my sermon, and God kind of brings that to mind, and I wonder if Scott's going to put that in the song service today, and we don't talk about it. You know what? I just like, well, I'll just see what happens, and then all of a sudden I go, hey, Scott, did you look at my sermon today? And he goes, no. And I said, well, we got the same song going on here. I just feel like God just sets that up sometimes, the Holy Spirit. I love Who You Say That I Am, because you know, Who You Say That I Am is a song of position. It is a song about who God is and how He's placed us in the family of God. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? Who am I? Who am I? Well, you are a child of God, and He has saved you and loved you and redeemed you and placed you into the family. Because, listen, we ask the question, who am I that the highest King would welcome me? Because we know who we are. I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son set free is free indeed. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen and not forsaken. I am who you say that I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say that I am. God's benefit package comes to us, and He says, you are a part of me, the family of God. You're granted the position of a child of God, and He crowns you with love and compassion. That's what He thinks about you. Wow, what benefits God brings to us today. It is amazing. And then lastly, He brings to us the benefit of satisfaction. How can we not be satisfied when you have all these others? Listen to what He says in verse 5. He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. You know, I find there's little satisfies in the world. And that whatever satisfies in the world satisfies for a season. But what we find here is our walk with Christ and the benefit of satisfaction and the good things. Listen, we embrace a good shepherd, one who leads us. We embrace the bread of life, the one who is continually nourishing us. We embrace the light of the world who allows us to walk in the darkness of this world with the light of Christ. He satisfies the needs, blesses us with good things. So you see that what the satisfaction does, God satisfies us with all these things, His presence and Himself. But He also says that your youth is renewed like the eagle. What does that mean? Well, Isaiah had something to say about that. Isaiah says this in 40:31. It's a very similar to what David was saying here in this psalm. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 40:31. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not be faint. How satisfying is that? Is that if we trust in the Lord, He renews our strength, our joy. That's a lot of satisfaction. So you know the routine. Whenever you're sitting across from a hiring manager or whomever it may be, and you begin to negotiate the position, and you begin to ask, or they begin to tell you the salary, and the question is next to come, what is the benefits package? Or they'll even tell you up front, here's the benefits package. Here's your vacation. Here's your medical insurance. Here's what your retirement looks like, or whatever it may be, whatever the benefits are. You know why? You know, and you look that over, and you look at the salary, and you think, wow, that's, you know, but, or you might be like, wow, that's not good enough. That benefits package could be the deal breaker. The salary's fine. The benefits are horrible. I got to go find something else. And so that's just sometimes the way it is. But here's what we find today. That's a regular hiring manager we have today. Imagine yourself sitting across the table from the Lord. And the Lord looks at you and says, here's the benefits of you having a relationship with me. Here's the benefits of you following me. There is forgiveness of your sins. There is a position here that you are part of the family. There's satisfaction in all of this. There is a grace and there is relief. And all these things look at that with such awe and say, I cannot believe the generosity of yourself. I want what you're providing. You see, that's a relationship with Christ. The Lord sits before you and says, all this is yours. Why would you walk away today without receiving the benefit package that God provides? What more would you want? What different thing would you like? What can we add that's going to push you over the edge to say, okay, I'll take that? God's benefit package. These are His heavenly resources. And for those of you that are struggling with your past, if you can be mindful of these things, you are reminded of who you are and what He's done. I believe you can move forward and you focus on that. For those of you that are maybe just kind of stagnant in your walk with Christ, you say, I'm not dealing with my past. I just need a little get up and go. I need you to come back and be reminded of God's forgiveness and God's grace and God's faithfulness and God's relief and God's position and His satisfaction, because it's all there for you. And for those of you who have yet to receive the benefit of following Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the best day of your life, because you can do it today. You can receive His benefit package. Why would you walk away without it? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, before us is an opportunity to receive a benefits package that you have so clearly defined in Scripture. And so, Father, we know this, and church, you know this as well. You've heard this today. So today, if you are desiring to receive the benefit package that God provides, you can do that simply. How do you do that? You just do it through a prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. You're just praying to the Lord. You're not praying audibly. You're just praying to the Lord, and I'll just guide you through the prayer. If you want to receive the benefit package the Lord provides right now, just say this: Dear Jesus, I desire your benefit package, your forgiveness, your relief, your satisfaction, your grace, your position now comes to me. Thank you. Thank you for valuing me and caring enough to provide me these benefits. I receive them urgently, quickly, readily today. And from this day forward, I will always try to live for you. Amen. Did you receive His benefit package today? We want to walk with you. We want to help you. We want to help you understand what that means. Would you give us the privilege of doing that? Three ways you can do that for us this morning. You can bring and just talk to these encouragers that are going to be standing here at the front of the church. All you need to come do is say, I received the benefit package today. Let them take it from there. They're going to pray with you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to get a little information from you. Second thing you can do is say, if you don't want to come here, why don't you come out there? You're going to walk right by me. You walk right by me. Why don't you walk right by me and just walk up to me and say, got the benefit package today. Let us talk about that. We want to help you. Here's a third way. Maybe you say, I'm just not going to do any of those. Would you write it down on the Connect card in your bulletin and give us some contact information? We'll follow up with you this week in private, have a cup of coffee here in the office, meet at Starbucks or somewhere, and we'll just talk to you about it. God's benefit package has been before you. What do you do with it today? Maybe there's some other things that are on your heart.